Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you would like more information, you can go to the website, goggincole.com. We'll be with you tonight until 6 when we turn things over to Predneck Nation Radio. Crazy Charlie Sonje and his guests getting you ready for the Preds later tonight, taking on Arizona. This is fresh off of their win on Tuesday against Vegas, and certainly this is the kind of a start that you would certainly want if you're a fan of the Predators, and so far so good. And but Crazy Charlie and his guests getting you ready starting at 6 tonight, from 6 to 7 right here on Nashville Sports Radio. A little bit later this hour at 5:35, Justin Beasley, sports reporter, sports anchor with News 4 WSMV TV here in Nashville. But right now, our good buddy, go back a few years, and in decades too, Mike Horgan with the Tennessee and joining us. Mike, first of all, welcome back to the show. We appreciate you taking time out with us.
Good to be with you guys, Johnny. Thanks.
Hey, by the way, I wasn't going to bring this up today, but it broke right before showtime today, and somebody who I have close ties to, I remember when she was hired to rejuvenate the Tennessee State women's basketball team, and she certainly was able to do that. Appearances in the NCAA tournament as well. But Teresa Phillips announcing today that she's retiring effective June of next year. And you start looking back to her career first as a coach and then later as an administrator as well. She has a long, long list there on her resume of her accomplishments, and, you know, heavily involved too on committees with regards to the NCAA as well. But she's certainly left her footprint there with the TSU athletics program.
Yeah, just a true class act, Teresa is, always has been, has one of the toughest jobs in the country. There's no doubt about that. And to have held that job as long as she has, you go back to her basketball years, but, you know, she's been the AD since 2002, making her the dean of athletics directors in the state by a few years. I think Chris Massaro and at MTSU and at Tech, Mark Wilson came around 05 or 06. But she's by far the longest tenured athletics director. And, man, she's been through some tough times and held her head high and been able to keep TSU relevant. They're struggling now basically in every sport, every major sport. But she's done a good job, and congratulations to her. And now she'll be able to follow her son, Kyle, former Hillsboro star and UT star, who is down in the NFL and playing well for the New York Jets. She'll be able to devote a little bit more time to going to his games and following his career.
I was joking with her. I said, you know, I could have been right there with you along the way. But, you know, if you had decided to go for the AD job 3 years prior to when she did, because the person that they went with, to me, started that and actually put – because I remember in 99 when TSU first played in now what we know as Nissan Stadium, but in 99 we had 10,000 season tickets sold for that first we had two crowds and not a Vanderbilt estimate. We had two crowds of 40,000 plus for the John Merritt, and then you look at homecoming. I mean, but you know, the athletics director then, Dr. Jim Smith, certainly helped dig a hole that, you know, it's tough. You know, you look at TSU, MTSU, Belmont, Lipscomb. You got to do it better now when you start thinking about the Titans and now the Predators here as well. When you look at both of these organizations here, you're fighting for attention and the media, You're also fighting for dollars that, you know, when you have folks, I mean, back then it was just an entirely different landscape in the 90s compared to what it is today. And look, the bottom line is you got to work harder and do a better job than you ever have before.
Yeah, they're up against it. I mean, you know, back then there was no Power Five. Yeah, you had Vanderbilt in town, but you had a whole different audience that didn't want to, you know, put up with the parking of an SEC game. Of course, that's not much of an issue. Well, I guess it is still an issue these days.
For the opposing teams, yeah.
Yeah. But it is a different landscape. The Titans were new and hadn't really taken hold at that time. They'd been to the Super Bowl the year before, so they were starting to gain the momentum. Preds were still trying to find their identity. And, you know, you had a niche back then, TSU did, and it had a strong tradition in basketball, obviously in football. But, you know, that's been 20 years ago. And it's been a long time since Tennessee State was relevant in any sport other than a couple of flashes in men's basketball and then one year in women's basketball. So you've got to do a lot. Like you said, you got to kind of be a Belmont and get in the NCAA tournament a couple of times or a Lipscomb and go to the NIT championship game to make a little bit of a splash just to stay on the radar.
I saw the stat talking about Tennessee State ties right now currently as far as the football program with the longest losing streak in school history, and I sent you a text about that the last two times that it occurred, the coaches at the end of the year were relieved of their duties. Lawrence Simmons in 62, that's when it started the era with John Merritt in 63, and then the last time it happened, Bill Davis in 95, and that started the L.C. Cole era in 96. Where do we stand right now looking at the football program?
Well, you know, we reported at the end of last season that Teresa Phillips did not extend Rod Reed's contract. So he's working without in the last year of a contract right now, which, you know, is an indication that he was on the hot seat coming in. He knew that. Everybody knew that coming into the season. And they're 1-6 right now with a game that could be end up having to be forfeited because they played an ineligible player in it by their own admission. So, you know, they may have already matched that losing streak depending on what the NCAA rules there. So, you know, we're in a flux right now. And now this development today creates a whole new dynamic with Teresa Phillips announcing she'll step down. Now, she'll still be in the office, in the chair, and in position and power until June 30th. But, you know, we'll just see how much the president, Glover, gives her as far as making a decision at the end of the season. And I don't think they would do anything before then. It wouldn't serve any purpose to. But for Rod Reed's future, I guess it could still be in Teresa Phillips' hands. So, I mean, it's definitely a hot seat issue. And like I said, it's no news to anybody, no news to Rod, no news to the coaching staff, no news to any fans. So, but it does create a little bit of a different dynamic with her making this announcement today.
You know, look, we see a lot of FCS teams where they have to take the big paycheck and go and play a FBS team, for example, and for years and years and years. And before, I mean, now, obviously, when you're talking about getting several $100,000 paycheck, but for many years there, Tennessee State never had to go that direction, and mainly because of the classics that they would play in some years, three or so in a season. I remember, obviously, Memphis, the Southern Heritage Classic, is on the schedule, and there were years where we would do that one. There would be one in Atlanta, and then also one in Indianapolis, for example. And the best part about that is that you're not playing in front of a huge crowd of the opposing team's fans. You're paying, you know, half the crowd are fans of your particular program. And when I say crowd, and when I say crowds, I'm talking about 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 fans attending these games.
If they could ever get the tailgaters to all the tailgaters outside the stadium to come in, you might be talking about 50,000, 60,000, 70,000. So, that's another issue. But another good thing about that, Johnny, that, TSU kind of had an edge on was you were playing the team of your caliber. You weren't having to step up and take a beating and get players hurt and have no chance. for a paycheck. You were getting a paycheck and possibly very good chance that you were picking up a win. But for whatever reason, the classics have kind of gone away. The only classic that Tennessee State plays in now consistently is the Southern Heritage in Memphis, which does well, still gets about 40,000 to 60,000 in the
And Fred Jones has always done an outstanding job from the, you know, I was a part of the first 10 years of those, and, you know, he, not just the game itself, but all the other events leading up to it.
Amazing what one man has been able to do. Really a testimony to what one person can do when they set their mind to it and remain committed. And you're right, he has kept that thing going and is as strong as ever. But the bad thing for TSU is that's the only classic that they're still in. So the last couple of years, they've had to step up and play, you know, FBS opponent. And this year was MTSU, which is, you know, that's at least there's some history there, and it's there's some intrigue and some interest.
Well, they're winnable. They're winnable games too. I mean, look at last year with Vanderbilt. You know, Tennessee State driving with a chance to beat Vanderbilt last year.
Well, look at Tennessee State's last three FCS, FBS opponents. Beat Georgia State.
Right.
Which, if I recall, lost to Tennessee. Beat Tennessee this year.
Yeah, did beat Tennessee.
Beat Georgia State 2 years ago.
I see where you like throwing a dig there to the Tennessee Vol fans that are listening. I see where you are with
I'm not a Tennessee Vols expert, but I was thinking that they lost to them this year. I might have to go back and check the record.
Oh, I just thought you were just being – I know how you operate. Don't worry.
And then they nearly beat Vanderbilt. It was on the way.
See, that's why Joe Dubin doesn't like you, Mike Organ. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's why I do it. Whatever you tell me that Joe Dubin doesn't like, then I'll do.
Oh, okay.
Anytime you get a clue, then you let me know. And thank you for having Justin Beasley on at the bottom of the hour instead of following me with Joe Dubin. I heard you promoting that, and I thought, you know, that's so much better than having to.
Joe and I look at Justin like our little brother, honestly. You know, it's like we're so proud of him. All right. Speaking of Vanderbilt,
the FBS issue. You know that they would have beat. They were on their way to beating Vanderbilt, and then they lost their best defensive player, and
right.
Still only at halftime. And this still only lost by 4 points. And then had a great shot at MTSU this year, and just kind of ran out of steam at the end, which often happens when you've got an FCS opponent going against an FBS, and depth starts taking an issue. But yeah, they've done well, and they picked up that paycheck. So, but it's still hard to make up. When you had those three classics, think of the money they were getting for three games instead of just one game.
Quite aware of it. And you go back to Fred Jones, and I think that I don't care if you're putting on a classic or just your normal college football game. Everybody can learn lessons the way Fred Jones does it over in Memphis. I mean, here's a guy, you know it's smart to take care of, like, the presidents and the athletic teams and the bands and all that. He makes sure that those individuals, that they're behind the scenes, are fully appreciated. And it's those little things that he does is the reason why that is still going so strong all these years later.
Yeah, his is a model that should be followed and should be taught in colleges, universities across the country, because what he's been able to do, and what we're sitting here talking about, how the other classics have kind of faded and gone away, and his is still strong, and how he's been able to do it is something that needs to be taught in economics classes and business classes and marketing and in a lot of different ways.
All right, can I just throw this out here? Because here's the thing, and I'm not going to charge Vanderbilt for this idea, but this is just a perfect example from a marketing 101 standpoint with Vanderbilt. We're talking about classics, and this is what a lot of the, you know, whether you're talking about Florida A&M, Tennessee State, Jackson State, Grambling, whatever the case may be. There's no reason in the world why Vanderbilt, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it classic, but let that be the working model. But every year, have a game like that with a big buildup leading up to the game, but have your opponent being a team like Northwestern, Duke, Stanford. You see where I'm going there? There's no reason why you can't do that and make it extra exciting, not just about the football game itself, but what the two institutions mean, especially those that stress academics as well. Why can't you do something simple like that? Instead of trying to, but instead, here's the thing, just like with the football team, you're trying to beat Alabama, LSU, Georgia, you know, whatever, Florida, by doing what they do. And you're not going to get the same kind of talent to beat those kind of teams on a consistent basis. So you got to do it differently than the other 13 teams in the SEC. But and the same thing applies to you can't just say, well, the game's at 11 a.m. Why aren't you showing up? That's not going to work. You have to get out there. Look how many people keep moving to this area. And I go back to 20 years ago, Vanderbilt actually had Vanderbilt fans in the stadium. 20 years ago, they did. The landscape has changed. You have all these new faces here and new folks here. They're college football fans, but they have opportunities to do other things with their money. The bottom line is you have to go out and extend. You can't just, you know, welcome in. Because remember, too, Mike, and you remember this as well, there was a period of time when the sidewalk fan of Vanderbilt sports was not welcomed. And when I say welcomed, you didn't feel appreciated when you showed up if you didn't have a degree from Vanderbilt.
That is an interesting dynamic. I mean, those of us who grew up around here and have been around here forever remember when it seemed like there was literally one sidewalk fan, and that was Vandy Lance Smith. He was the only person you could identify as a sidewalk fan, the only one that was willing to go where he felt like, where most people felt like they were unwelcome. And you're right, that dynamic has changed, and now they have no sidewalk fans, and now they wish they could get them back. And you bring up the play in the Dukes and the Northwesterns, and maybe the Virginias, you know, the truly academic schools across the country. That's something that I always found. I covered Vanderbilt as the beat writer for about 10 years in the 90s and early 2000s. And every time a Northwestern or a Stanford or a Duke would have success somewhere where they had not had success before, Vanderbilt would form a committee and send that committee in the off season to that school to study what they did. So, you know, this is something that they've always had interest in, and while they've never had interest in putting together a series, like you mentioned, with one of these teams, which would be a little bit more evenly matched and have some intrigue to it, they've not done that. They've just wanted to go copycat, and, you know, they'll come back with some model that they'll put in place, and it won't work, and then they'll just end up chasing the next team that has a little bit of success. But yeah, I mean, wouldn't you rather watch and see them play a team like that than a UNLV or Northwest or Northern Illinois?
I mean, yeah, I mean, based on the lack of folks inside the building last Saturday, I think the answer to that would be yes, because not only were they not watching inside the stadium, you look at the TV ratings, they weren't watching at home either.
The Vanderbilt games, I publish the TV ratings in my column every week. Don't think a Vanderbilt game has cracked the top 15 in sports events in Nashville this year. Hadn't been more than about a 2 or 3 point rating, which is about 20,000 households. I mean, it's incredible how irrelevant and how little interest there is in the program. But if I'm over there right now, I don't want a whole lot of interest in the program that I think it has. Is it five combined wins this year amongst women's basketball, men's basketball, and football?
Yeah, that was an ugly stat that Adam Sparks sent out on Twitter this week.
Yeah, Sparks is always trying to stir something up, and I don't know why he went there, but he did. And since he did, let's talk about it.
Yeah, see, I was.
It is at Pella. It is incredible.
See, I was always smart. See, I was. Here's the thing, and I in so many ways you can point fingers at the media relations department, because I covered and I had to represent some bad teams at times over at Tennessee State. Right, I had a lot of success too in some years as far as men's and women's basketball, and some up years as far as back in '99, for example, going to the playoffs, Tennessee State, the number one seed as far as the old 1AA. And so I bring it up because in those lean years, you got to throw out so many interesting, bizarre, good stats, they forget about that ugly one that Adam sent out as far as on Twitter this week. If you have to allow the Adam Sparks of the world to create their own, that's never a good thing. So I came up
– because they're going to – you're right. They're going to do it, so you might as well try to hit them off at the pass. And you're right. And Jim Wyatt with the Titans is very good at that. When things will get bad going for the Titans, he'll come up with something interesting that will deflect your interest a little bit.
Well, I'd give you a good example. When Butch Jones was still head coach at Tennessee, when he was still lobbying to have statues built outside Neyland Stadium in his honor, tongue in cheek there, if you saw the game notes, it was these, you know, the kind of game notes that I would have put together, in the sense that, you know, basically making him the same breath as a Nick Saban, per se. when the reality was, if you see through what they were trying to do, it's just like, oh wait, stop. I see what you're doing there, and I'm not buying it. I'm not going to be fed that. But you know how many folks didn't pay attention? Most of them, because I thought he should have been gone in year two, that you could just tell he was leading this team to nowhere fast, and yet it took a few more years before they realized that.
Yep, that's exactly right. And you're right. He was kind of a spin doctor, and that's what you kind of got to be to survive. That you'll get an extra year or two by doing things like that.
Oh, I love the one. It was either his last year or the next to last year. It could have been his last year. Talking about how he had such a young team, and he had more upperclassmen on his team than Alabama did and Georgia. And yet, but, you know, as long as it's a good story, you know, if no one's going to do fact-checking to correct it, you know, if they just say, well, young team, you just take it for granted. A young team is what Ole Miss is doing this year when 83% of their offense is being generated from true freshmen. That's a young team. What Butch Jones had at Tennessee, at the end especially, stop with that nonsense.
Well, and Butch was so good about, in the one breath here, talk about the great recruiting class they had coming in and how, you know, it's the best recruiting class, amongst the best recruiting classes in the country. And then in the next breath, he's talking about how young they are. Well, if they're all so good, shouldn't they be playing? I mean, come on.
Well, the problem is, you as a head coach, as a successful head coach, I go back to a conversation Mal Moore was having with Nick Saban as he was being, you know, on the plane coming from South Florida to be introduced as the new head coach for Alabama. And the conversation was the fact that, you know, Saban was talking to Mal Moore, you know, like, you know, you have a good head coach, but I don't know how much you know that you have a good recruiter. And the bottom line is, you could do one well, but if you can't do the other, and being a good coach means also being able to coach up players once they arrive. That was the biggest thing. And how about evaluating your players, too? I mean, look for Alvin Kamara, perfect example of an underutilized player in Knoxville. I think he's doing pretty good in the NFL.
Yeah, the big indictment on Jones was that they were so great coming in, and then they all ended up in the NFL, but they had this dark spot, this blotch on their resume, and that was their time spent at the University of Tennessee. And you just wondered what happened there. But, yeah, they came in highly touted, and then they still made it to the NFL and then made it big in the NFL. So many players did.
Marcus Mariota, yeah, I have no problem with the benching, with Ryan Tannehill getting the start on Sunday. But to me, it's just the start of other questions that need to be asked about this organization, because this team was supposed to be going to greatness from good. This team has digressed over the last 2 years under Mike Vrabel and this staff. And when you use excuses, like, for example, when you're trying to defend your offensive line coach by saying, well, the players know where they know their blocking assignments, they know who they need to block, they're just not doing it. And when you're throwing your players under the bus and not allowing everybody to be accountable, including assistant coaches, then maybe I need to start directing my attention towards the coaching staff as well, starting with the head coach and Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. I mean, yes, Mariota didn't give them any choice to bench him last week, but at the same time, when Tannehill came in, he also was sacked. He also was under great pressure, and there's no reason to believe he won't be this week. I mean, maybe he learned watching on the sidelines to release the ball quicker than Mariota did, but there were games where Mariota did not hold the ball. He didn't get turned around before the half the defensive line was on top of him, so they haven't fix the problem. They may have, you know, tapped in on one symptom, but the big issue is still there. And I think that's what we're going to find out, even with Tannehill stepping in, is until they fix the offensive line and aren't able to run the ball consistently well or throw the ball consistently well and have just a horrid offense, then their issues are going to remain.
Mike, as always, we appreciate you taking time out with us. I certainly value your friendship for 30-plus years now and respect what you do. You cover everything, so remind the listeners again the best ways to keep up with your coverage of, well, everything that's pertinent here to Nashville and Middle Tennessee.
Well, and first off, in Tennessean and Tennessean.com, and then on Twitter, at Mike Organ Writer. And I write a column on Sundays that kind of hits on everything every week, fills up the whole second page of sports, called Mid-State Chatter.
Hey, we appreciate it, Mike. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Okay, you too, Johnny. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Mike. My pleasure. Mike Organ once again with the Tennessean. And still coming up, Justin Beasley, sports reporter, sports anchor with News 4, WSMV-TV here in Nashville. All leading up, by the way, 6 o'clock tonight from 6 to 7, another edition of Predneck Nation Radio, Crazy Charlie Sonje and his guest. This segment brought to you by our friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. If you're looking for the ideal destination for family fun, I'm talking about a place that combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Check out Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. So book your next party or event, birthday parties, family reunions. If you've got a fundraising affair coming up, whatever the case may be, you can get more information by going online, strikeandsparebowling.com. But check out their locations, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Powerball is throwing the ultimate party, and one lucky winner is going to win $1 million. Introducing Powerball's New Year's Rockin' Eve VIP experience. You and a guest could take the trip of a lifetime to New York City, packed with exclusive access to the biggest events in town. Plus, you'll receive an entry for a chance to become the first Powerball millionaire of 2020. Announced live on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. The only way to win is to play Powerball, so get your ticket today. Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Visit TNLottery.com for details. Please play responsibly.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Ryan Blaney takes home the win after a wild super speedway race from Talladega. Up next, the last chance for drivers to advance is at Kansas. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And check us out at facebook.com/thefinallap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studio, 615-844-5600. It's time for On Tap tonight. Once again, coming your way from 6 to 7 tonight, another installment of Predneck Nation Radio with Crazy Charlie Sonje and his guests. A little bit later on, it's the Preds in action taking on Arizona. So far, so good. 4-2 through the first six. On pace right now. If they keep this up, we're talking about three consecutive years hitting the century mark as far as points. I mean, I know it's early and it's a small canvas, but you certainly you're being entertained, and it just seems like there's just a different edge to this team compared to last year's squad. Better chemistry. And so we'll see how this all plays out again tonight. Expecting a lot of goals, too, by the way, in this one tonight. As far as the college football landscape, a couple of games of note involving the FBS. One in particular, the Pac-12 contest later on tonight, 8 o'clock start time, Stanford taking on UCLA. Still can't understand. I mean, I know UCLA, speaking of young, UCLA is young. They got some talent, but it's just developing slowly there for Chip Kelly and his group. They're 1-5 on the year, 1-2 in Pac-12 play. Tonight they're taking on Stanford. And, you know, talking about, you know, Vanderbilt, or you can throw out Northwestern or whatever, look at the success that Stanford has maintained, you know, from Jim Harbaugh to David Shaw. I mean, we're talking about over a decade plus of just, you know, above average football. Now, this year, struggling a little bit. They're 3-3 on the season, 2-2 in conference play. So tonight, when you look at these last six games, starting with this contest tonight for Stanford at home, you know, these are games you've got to win, especially to get back to and being on pace to be bowl eligible again this year.
Yeah, and if you're UCLA, you're going to hope for a barn burner like it was up in Washington State not too many weeks ago.
Well, yeah, that Washington State game when UCLA, their only win, they knocked off then 19th ranked Washington State when they were down by, what, 32 in the last, in the end of the third quarter. And in that particular game, 130 points scored in that one. Didn't even make overtime.
That was in regulation.
And by the way, speaking of which, last year Stanford won this game with UCLA 49-42. So 91 points were scored in last year's affair between these two.
So there's a good chance that there's going to be a lot of points scored tonight.
Yeah. Good news if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, because they're 4-2, but both of those losses were at home. And tonight they're on the road. They're 3-0 on the road this year. Taking on the Denver Broncos. The Broncos coming off that win last week against the Titans. They're 2-4. They're 1-2 at home, and the only victory against the Titans. That's starting off week 7 of the NFL tonight. And then as far as Major League Baseball, Washington still waiting to see which team they're going to be playing in the World Series this year. Tonight, you've got Houston in New York. 7:08 start time for this one. Houston leading the series 2-1. And so tonight, game 4, and then game 5 will be tomorrow in New York, 6:08 start time for that one. And then at that point, we'll see where it needs to be. But a game 6, I mean, you're not getting any breaks in between like you normally would because of the rain out. And so a game 6, if necessary, will be in Houston coming up on Saturday night. Right. Coming up on the other side, a chance to visit with our good buddy Justin Beasley, sports reporter, sports anchor with News 4 here in Nashville with WSMV. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
By now, most of you have figured out James Warren and I went to BGA, class of 1977. He's the owner of Sir Speedy and Barry Hill, and he joins us by phone. James, let's talk a little printing services.
Well, I've been in business for a long time, and I've known that there's all kinds of challenges that everybody has every day. And I will say, now, printing doesn't have to be one of them. You can rely on the pros at Sir Speedy Barry Hill to provide you with print solutions to achieve your goals, whether you need posters, banners, brochures, catalogs, personalized mailers, copying, you name it. We're here to make you look good. So move printing off your plate and onto ours.
Give me the particulars.
You can reach us at 615-832-9511. You can visit us online at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com or email us at print@SirSpeedyMusic.com. We've got you.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to a half million. million. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Ensworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ensworth.com to learn more.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR SkyCan Forecast. For today, sunny and cooler with a high only of 65. Tonight's going to be clear with a low 42. Friday will warm up a little bit, perfect fall day, sunshine with a high 72. And this weekend, mostly sunny skies with an average high of 75. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Being football time throughout the areas, also we're talking about tailgating parties, viewing parties, and more. If you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But on average, a DUI can set you back $10,000. It can also cost you your life. So remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Coming up at the top of the hour, Prednik Nation Radio with Crazy Charlie Sagne and his guest, getting you ready as the Preds take the ice again on the road tonight, taking on Arizona. But right now, going back to the hotline, Justin Beasley, sports reporter, sports anchor with News 4, WSMV-TV here in Nashville. Justin, thank you as always, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, man, you don't have to thank me anytime. I'm glad to join you guys.
You're so kind. All right, first things first, the move as far as in the game against Denver with Marcus Mariota getting benched, Ryan Tannehill taking over, and then the decision. To me, it wasn't a conversation that just began on Sunday. For me, realistically, I thought the conversation probably began during the Indianapolis game, and it was one of these things that and we knew the potential was there because, honestly, Ryan Tannehill, the first quarterback on this roster not named Marcus Mariota, has had a chance to actually start at quarterback we're talking about in a situation where injuries were not a part of that decision. And because, I mean, the whole time that Marcus has been here in his first 4 years, there's never been a quarterback there that was going to actually push Marcus for a starting time. It was the only way they were going to get in that position if Marcus was out due to injury.
Right. And I would say this conversation was had at the end of last season, week 17, when they, you know, he wasn't available. You know, you had to go get a backup that either you had to draft a backup that was capable or you had to go get somebody like a Ryan Tannehill, a Teddy Bridgewater, somebody capable of winning games. You know, I hate to be the guy that says, I told you so, but I mean, I told you so. This was bound to happen. It was inevitable. You know, Mariota hadn't got it done in four-plus seasons. And then this year, you know, it's either feast or famine. It's either Atlanta or Cleveland where he just goes all out and you know, has good complementary football, or it's where you can't even complete a screen pass and get a first down. It's a move that had to be made. And, you know, I guess it's so unfair to Ryan Tannehill to say he can't lead this offense when he went 13 of 16. You know, a lot of guys are like, he didn't fare much better. Yeah, he didn't score points, but he went 13 of 16. He completed passes. He was decisive. He knew where he was going with the ball. I mean, yeah, the offensive line was still bad, but they got across the 50-yard line. That they didn't do that with Mariota through three quarters.
Well, the other part of it, too, is that for the first time, in this case, the Chargers defense you know, they can't be packing it in with nine on the line, and because they don't respect the passing game. Because Ryan Tannehill, a much stronger arm, more accurate arm, and he will keep the defense more honest. And which then, guess what happens with that when you don't have nine guys up there in the box? And what I mean by that is near the line of scrimmage. And when you don't have that, it opens up the running game. So we'll see how that all plays out on Sunday as well.
And a lot of teams haven't said it, but they were going to let Marcus Mariota beat them. You know, they were fine with Derrick Henry beating. They were not fine with Derrick Henry beating them. They were fine.
No, they said it with the way they
going off and having a day.
With the way they lined up, that's exactly what they were saying. They didn't have to say it with words. They were saying it with their actions.
Yeah, now it's different. Again, you know, the backup, Ryan Tannehill, has 88 career starts. He's won in the NFL. He's had an offensive-minded head coach in Adam Gase. He's never had the weapon, I would say, that this Tennessee team has, at least on paper. And Mariota has the same, you know, has the same thing. This is the best weaponry he's ever had. Obviously, he didn't do enough in six games for them to keep him, you know, having the job. But it's also funny, too, because you know the guys, and I believe it, you know, when they say it, that Marcus Mariota is their guy. They stick behind him. But eventually, those guys want their targets. You know, the offense wants to put points on the board, and the defense wants to not spoil, you know, good defensive performances. You know, they've had a good defense. There's no guarantee that's going to happen next year or at the end of the season. Like, you have to capitalize while the iron's hot, and you know, you had to make a change at quarterback. You had to have a spark, and now, you know, with the decision on Tuesday, they're basically saying, you know, not only does he provide a spark, we think that Ryan Tannehill gives the Titans the best chance to win by naming him the starter on Tuesday.
I'm going to throw some things out, and you tell me if you disagree. Ryan Tannehill, I think he's a solid backup quarterback. He is not a franchise quarterback. He is not going to lead you to he's not going to be like a Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning in his day or any of these guys that we're throwing out there that you feel like each and every year you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. He's not that guy. Same thing as I look at the offensive line, and right now there's nothing about Keith Carter that tells me he's a solid offensive line coach in the NFL either.
Yeah, somebody's got to take responsibility, whether it be Keith Carter, Mike Vrabel, or John Robinson with the signings. Roger Saffold looked like a home run hire. You know, Jack Conklin on the contract year looked like he was going to, you know, have a breakout season. Even Taylor Lewan, the big money guy, the best left tackle in football right now, or, you know, some weeks looks like it. He hasn't played up to his potential. It's just, it's a collective effort. And then they gave Ben Jones that two-year contract before the season started, when most of us in the media thought that he was kind of one of the ones that gave up a lot of sacks and was, you know, led to the demise of the offensive line last year. But, you know, back to your point with Ryan Tannehill, he's not a franchise quarterback, but the great thing that he has going for him in sports, just like Marcus Mariota did, it's a contract season. It's a prove-it year. It's a this is your last chance to prove if you can get another contract, if you can start again in the NFL, which is the same situation that Marcus Mariota has right now and will have again next season in a lame duck year, probably a one-year contract. If you're Ryan Tannehill, right now you have nothing to lose and everything to gain, and that's got to be positive for the Titans.
I mean,
if you have one positive.
I mean, a good example, Jack Conklin. I mean, this guy was all-pro. I mean, he goes from all-pro to does he look anything close to that right now? I mean, yeah, here's the thing. There's blame on the players, but, I mean, I go back to a couple of weeks ago during a presser where Mike Vrabel is basically saying, hey, look, it's, you know, he's basically saying it's not the coaches. You know, it's like the players know where they need to be lined up as far as the offensive line. So if it's not the coaches, that means, oh, it's the players. Well, no, I'm going to go back, and it's a combination of all the above.
Absolutely, yeah. And the scary part about it is there's so much money invested up front. I mean, like most NFL teams, but, you know, Taylor Lewan's got the, I think it's $72 million, and then you have Roger Saffold, 4 years, $44 million, Ben Jones, 2 years, 13.5. You know, nobody knows what they're kind of doing at right guard and right tackle. You have, you know, a contract year for Jack Conklin, but who's going to fill in that spot? Because obviously, you know, Nate Davis coming in through the draft was good for one game, but since then it has kind of been pedestrian, you know, as has the entire offensive line. So the scary part if you're a Titans fan is you don't know if there's a solution on this roster currently to fix the problem that you had this season.
I mean, I go back to this. It's not like you're being hired to replace a, you know, a coach in a situation that's coming off a 5-27 record. That's not what Mike Vrabel took over. Mike Vrabel took over a team that for 2 years straight flirted with winning the AFC South. It was a team that right before he gets the job, the team goes to the playoffs and actually knock off Kansas City in the opening round to finish 10-7 that year. So, you know, the fact that, wait, Mike Vrabel is only his second year, you know, got to give him time. Why? Because you already inherited a fast-moving, nice a team that was supposed to be good then to great, and we're still waiting for great, and you're going backwards, and you look at the moves that were made to improve this team the last 2 years, and you're going backwards. At some point, when you talk about responsibility, yeah, there's accountability with the players in that locker room, but what about coaching players up as well?
Yeah, something, and this is total speculation on my part. I have no evidence to back this up, but I think the reason that, you know, Mike Mularkey backed Terry Rubisky a couple of years ago, and, you know, they had that vanilla offense where they didn't let Mariota kind of run and gun and just sling it and kind of let it go, was because they kind of knew his limitations. You know, the same thing we're seeing in the games is the same thing me and Joe Dubin told you we saw all training camp, where the defense was just killing the offense, and you know, Marcus Mariota wasn't passing it good, even in training camp, where you know what kind of defense that, you know, your opponent is running. Part of me thinks that that's why, you know, Mike Mularkey was let go, because he kind of knew what Marcus Mariota was, and maybe John Robinson had a different opinion on Marcus Mariota. And right now, hey, let's be honest, you know, a lot of people ran Mike Mularkey out of town, said it needed to happen. I was kind of one of them. He's looking smarter and smarter as the weeks go on.
I mean, the bottom line is, let's just face it, and I'm not trying to be cruel, but I said it back when the Titans made the decision to draft Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota, coming out of college, was not a franchise quarterback then. He's not a franchise quarterback today. He's not a franchise quarterback tomorrow. And what I mean by franchise quarterback, you know, you may be the starting quarterback, but a franchise quarterback to me gives you yourself, where you're one of the top five or six quarterbacks in the league, and you have a chance to actually make some headway once you get to the playoffs. I mean, I look at an Andy Dalton to me is Marcus Mariota in 4 or 5 years. That's where he is today. Andy Dalton is a guy that, you know, you never really have faith that he's going to lead the Bengals anywhere, and he hasn't. And at this point, you don't really think he's going to either. And the fact that it's like, well, who are you going to get? I mean, we keep giving examples. A Russell Wilson in the third round. You know, you look at, the list goes on and on.
Those are aberrations, though, in my opinion.
Mahomes. Anybody could have had Patrick Mahomes. You know, Kansas City had Alex Smith, and they moved up. They were picking later in the first round. They move up, make the trade to get Patrick Mahomes. And we weren't talking about one of the first five picks. Well, you know, he actually was 11th or 12th, wherever he was finally taken off the board. And it's because Kansas City identified his talent and moved up. I keep throwing it out there. If you want your franchise quarterback, somehow Lee Steinberg understands who a franchise quarterback is. And I would take chances with whoever he signs up as far as his roster to represent as an agent. I'd rather take my chances go that direction, because he has a better hit-and-miss ratio than most of the GMs in the NFL.
Yeah, well, the thing is, John Robinson, I mean, he's pretty much left with no choice other than to draft somebody next year, along with finding either, you know, Ryan Tannehill on another 1 or 2 year deal, or another veteran out there like a Teddy Bridgewater or a Matt Castle. Not Matt Castle, but
Don't do Matt Castle.
my apologies. Alex Smith or somebody, because right now, you know, you want to be in a financial situation where you can still win, but you're not paying your quarterback a ton of money if they want to sign a bunch of these guys, you know, next year that are on these, you know, on their last year of the contract. It's a difficult situation the Titans are in right now. I would imagine they're not planning for next year just yet, but if they lose this week, I mean, at 2-5, you almost have to start thinking of, you know, what quarterback you're going to get next year.
Or, I don't know, how about this unique idea? Take two quarterbacks next year, one early, yep, one late, and let them just play it out on the field.
We've seen New England, they trade one every offseason and wind up getting the bang for their buck a little bit later on for them. It's obviously they're in a better situation where it can work out, but, you know, he hasn't drafted a quarterback in the first round. Marcus Mariota wasn't his draft pick. It's going to be a lot of pressure on him to find that next guy, because it is for sure that, you know, Marcus Mariota – at the end of December will no longer be a Titan. It'll be cleaning out his locker for good.
And, well, you're also saving $20-plus million as well. So there's some pluses to that as well.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
All right, before we let you go, remind everybody how they can keep up with you on social media.
Yes, Jay Beasley, WSV, on Twitter and Instagram, and then Justin Beasley, WSV, on Facebook.
Yeah, the president of your fan club, by the way, Mike Organ with the Tennessee, and sent his well wishes to you. So just want to throw that
out.
Did
he? I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, he said it verbally. He said it on the air. Yeah, so just wanted to.
Really?
Yeah, showing you some love and respect there.
Was there sarcasm in that or no?
And I didn't sound like it. Either that or it was a dig at Joe Dubin at the same time. I'm not quite sure. But
okay, I'll have to hit him up and see what he's talking about. That's good to know.
All right, Justin, have a great rest of the week.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Justin Beasley once again with News 4 WSMV-TV here in Nashville. Coming up, we'll wrap things up, turn things over to Predneck Nation Radio. That's at the top of the hour from 6 to 7 tonight right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Coldhall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Coldhall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Four FBS college football games coming up on Friday night in Conference USA. Florida Atlantic sitting as a 5.5-point favorite as they play host to Marshall, the over-under at 59. In the ACC, Pitt goes to Syracuse. Pitt, a road favorite, favored by 3.5, over-under at 51.5. In the Big Ten, Northwestern is hosting number 4, Ohio State. Ohio State is favored by 4 touchdowns. They're 28-point favorites, over-under at 49.5. And in the Mountain West, Fresno State at home, 15-point favorites against UNLV.
For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on Nashville Sports Radio.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Breakfast Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today. Dave Matter joined us. He is the Missouri beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Also a chance to visit with Mike Organ with the Tennessean, along with Justin Beasley, not only sports reporter, but also sports anchor with News 4, WSMV here in Nashville. Don't forget, coming your way from 6 to 7 tonight, Predneck Nation Radio. Crazy Charlie Sonje and his guests getting you ready as the Preds take on Arizona later tonight on the road. Fresh off of their win on Tuesday night against Vegas. The Preds so far, 8 points on the season, 4-2. As far as Major League Baseball, once again, Houston with a chance to go up 3-1 against the Yankees. This game being played in New York. And then week 7 of the NFL kicking off tonight, 7:20 start time, as the 4-2 Kansas City Chiefs take on the 2-4 Denver Broncos. Don't forget, start your morning off with the Bill King Show tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the Big Joe Show from 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome comes your way from 11 to 2. And right before us at 4, from 2 to 4, you have the George Plaster Show. We'll be back with you again tomorrow afternoon at 4. Don't forget, tomorrow afternoon, our stops include at 5:05, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com as we break down the bigger college games and NFL games from a handicapping standpoint. That's on tomorrow's show. For Jay Henson, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a great night, everybody. Go Preds, and make it count.